you can turn to Revelation 12. And I have homework for you for next week. So here's the homework. I want you to look up CERN. CERN. C-E-R-N. CERN. So look up CERN. It's the largest machine in the world. So I want you to look it up. You know, look how big it is, how expensive, how many scientists work there, how many nations are involved. What does the thing do? What does this machine do? And look at the logo of CERN. The logo of CERN. Okay? Assignment number two is look up gold mine in Lead, L-E-A-D, Lead, South Dakota. New use for a gold mine in Lead, South Dakota. In the news 2 weeks ago, they're going to repurpose one of the deepest mines in the world. Try to figure out who's involved with this project, how much money, how many scientists, if it's connected to CERN at all, and what are they doing with this thing? That's your homework. Oh, so when you're looking at Lead, South Dakota, make sure you look at pictures of the town. I want you to see pictures of the gold mine in Lead, South Dakota. Everyone got that for your homework for next week? Okay, because next week, we're going to have fun. I'm going to reveal to you the identity of the Antichrist. Would you like to know who it is? We'll have some fun next week, but some of it will be very serious. But you don't want to miss next. I'm like, if you don't show up to find out the identity of the Antichrist, too bad. We're not putting on the internet. You will have to show up to find out. All right, Revelation chapter 12. We're actually in chapter 13, but I always like to review. So right now we're in the church age. At some point, the church is raptured out, and then begins the 7 years known as the tribulation. The 7 years is divided in two parts. It's divided in half, 3.5 years and 3.5 years, but 7 years in total length. We already went over the first 3.5 years where the seal judgments are poured out and the trumpet judgments are poured out. We've been in the middle of the tribulation. So there's still 3.5 more years left. At the end of the 7 years is the return of Christ, the saints, and then Jesus sets up his kingdom on the earth known as the millennium. So we're in the middle of the tribulation, and in the middle of the tribulation, we went over this last week, there is a war in heaven. And in this war, Satan and the evil angels are finally thrown out of heaven permanently forever. They actually have access to heaven even now, and to cause trouble and to blaspheme against the saints and to accuse us of all kinds of sin. But in the middle of the tribulation, they are thrown out. So Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael the archangel and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon is Satan. And the dragon and his angels, the evil angels, fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth, and his angels with him. So Satan and the evil angels no longer have access to heaven. Come over to verse 12. Verse 12 says, therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. Heaven is celebrating, all the saints, the church. We're all celebrating because Satan and the evil angels finally have been cleaned out of the heavenly realm permanently through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. But woe, second part of verse 12, but woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. So now the devil and the evil angels, their full-time ministry. Right now, their ministry is divided. They spend a lot of time in heaven accusing the saints. But now their full-time ministry is causing havoc on the earth. He knows his time is short. He only has 3.5 years. That's chapter 12. Summarize. Chapter 13 goes into what is known as the anti-trinity. There are three beings of the anti-trinity. There is Satan. He's anti-father, the dragon. Then from chapter 13, verses 1 through 10, is the Antichrist. He's called the beast in Revelation. He's called the beast because he eats and munches on Christians. So we have the Antichrist. He's going to be a person, but brutal to believers. And then from verse 11 to the end of the chapter is this, it's called the second beast. It's also, he's called in Revelation the false prophet, and he is known as the anti-spirit. So you got the anti-father, the anti-son, the anti-spirit. The false prophet will make a big idol of the Antichrist that the people will worship that have 666 on their foreheads. But next week, we'll go more into that. Here's the satanic trinity. It's, by the way, it's one of the reasons I believe in the trinity. Is Satan goes to such elaborate measures to make sure he imitates the trinity with the anti-trinity. So the dragon is the anti-God, the father. The beast is the antichrist, the son. And the false prophet is the beast, the anti-spirit. All right, let's read here, starting in verse 1. And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea. It's at this point that Satan really empowers the Antichrist with devilish power. Perhaps the Antichrist is even now possessed by the devil, since the devil is on the earth. And then so I want you to take some notes or some mental notes as we're going through this. And I saw a beast, this is the Antichrist, coming out of the what? Out of the sea. Tuck that away in the back of your mind. The Antichrist comes out of the sea. He had 10 horns. Can you tuck that in the back of your mind? Which represent leaders, by the way. He had 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 crowns on his horns. Those are like 10 kings, 10 dictators, 10 presidents, and a blasphemous name. Now, verse 2. There are going to be 3 animals that are in the description of the Antichrist. And you need to remember these 3 animals. So, the beast, verse 2, the beast I saw resembled a leopard. But he had feet like those of a bear. That's the second animal. And a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon, Satan, gave the beast, the Antichrist, his power and his throne and great authority. Just as the Heavenly Father gives Jesus his power, throne, and great authority, so the devil, in the middle of the tribulation, takes the Antichrist, who was, he's working his way through the beginning of the tribulation, but now he's really empowered by the devil. And he gets power and authority and his throne. One of the heads, verse 3, one of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound. But the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was astonished and followed the beast. We call this the anti-resurrection. So just as Jesus was put to death on the cross, buried, and resurrected, so Satan says, ooh, we've got to copy that. So we'll imitate that. So it looks like the Antichrist has a fatal wound, but he comes back and the world is astonished and says, let's follow him. This has got to be someone special. Verse 4, men worshiped who? The dragon, that's Satan, because he had given authority to the beast, the Antichrist, and they also worshiped the beast. And asked, who is like the beast? Who can make war against him? So just as we worship the Father and the Son, so Satan has set up the worship of himself and of the Antichrist. Everyone with me so far? All right. Verse 5. The beast, the Antichrist, was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise his authority for how long? 42 months, which is how long in years? 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus Christ comes back with the church and sets up the millennium. And the Antichrist, at the end of 3.5 years, is thrown into hell. So he has 3.5 years to exercise his authority. And I want you to note what kind of mouth is on the Antichrist. He's got a very proudful, blasphemous mouth on him. In fact, to utter proud words and blasphemies. Verse 6, he opened his mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. So four things he loves to curse and blaspheme. And it's God, his name, heaven, and the angels and saints that live up in heaven. Oh, by the way, anytime you use God's name in vain, yourself, when you use God's name in vain, I can just see Satan rushing up to heaven, because right now he can get to heaven until the middle of the tribulation. And Satan's up there and going, hey, that can't be a Christian, because they're speaking my language. Anytime you use the Lord's name in vain, or are curse, you know, God, anytime you do that, Satan's like, that's music to my ears. That's exactly how the Antichrist is going to talk. Lord, they obviously can't be a Christian. Look at their mouths. They're speaking the devil's language, my language, okay? So the Antichrist, I just want you to remember this. He's proud, boastful, blasphemous with his tongue. No matter the worst drunken sailor there is, this guy is the pinnacle of using his mouth. All right, verse 7. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them, which means to put them to death. So I want you to remember that. He's given power by Satan to make war against the Christians and to defeat them. Just to put this all into timeline. You remember there are two witnesses, right? There are two witnesses who are preaching and they're protecting the temple for the first 3.5 years. Then in the middle of the tribulation, Satan is thrown out of heaven. He now gives the Antichrist power. Up until now, the Antichrist, though he's on the earth, cannot overcome those two witnesses. But now with satanic power, he is able to put the two witnesses to death, goes into the temple, declares, I am God over the whole earth, and then makes war against all the saints. And there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists who are preaching in the first 3.5 years from chapter 7, who are all dead by chapter 14. The very next chapter, the beginning of 14, all 144,000 Jewish evangelists are all martyred, put to death by the Antichrist and all of those that are backing him up in the world. So, let's see, verse 7. He was given power to make war against the saints and to conquer them, and he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, the Antichrist, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. He who has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity he will go. If anyone is to be killed with the sword he will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. You know, in the tribulation, everyone's going to make a decision, just so you know this. Everyone's going to make a decision. You're either going to worship the Antichrist or you're going to worship Jesus and get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the middle of tribulation, there isn't going to be, right now, some of you like to play neutral. You like to walk that fine line. Well, you know, I don't know, maybe Christian, I'm not sure. Sometimes I'm not. Right? Yeah, you're walking a fine line. But in the middle of tribulation, you get to decide. God is going to force you to decide. Worship the Antichrist and take his mark, or you're a Christian and you're going to die. All right. So I want you to remember, the Antichrist comes up from where? See? He actually comes from somewhere else, but I'll go over that next week. He's empowered by Satan. He looks like three animals: leopard, bear, the head of a lion. He has how many horns? 10 horns. What does he do with his mouth? Blasphemy. How about with the saints? What can he do to the saints? Conquer and kill them. All right. How long does he reign? 3.5 years. All right. We're done with Revelation 13. Close it and turn to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel in the Old Testament. Daniel chapter 7. Now, most times people either preach through the book of Revelation or preach through the book of Daniel. But actually, the book of Daniel in chapter 7 covers information about the Antichrist. Even though Daniel was written 700 years before Revelation was written. It's so amazing. Like, if you're talking about the Antichrist to Jewish people, I can imagine them saying, oh, the Antichrist, that's in the book of Revelation. That's in the New Testament. The church came up with that. But you can be able to say, oh, actually, 700 years before the book, the New Testament, before Revelation was written, God actually talked about the Antichrist in the Old Testament, in your Bible. And of course, Jewish people are just like most Christians. They've actually never read their own Bible. But Daniel chapter 7 is about the Antichrist and brings out some interesting information. They're different. Daniel 7 and Revelation 13, they're different but alike. Okay? So Daniel 7, starting in verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream, and visions passed through his mind as he was lying on his bed. He wrote down the substance of his dream. Daniel said, now I'm going to tell you right now, he's going to have a dream of four different kingdoms that are pictured as animals. Here they are. Verse 2, Daniel said, in my vision at night I looked, and there before me were the four winds of heaven churning up the great sea. Four great beasts, each different from the others, came up out of what? The sea. The first, verse 4, the first was like a lion. And it had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground so that it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given to it. Now, just so you know, these four beasts represent four different kingdoms. The first kingdom, which is the lion, is the Babylonian kingdom under King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar gets saved. He actually, that's why it talks about that this lion suddenly stands up like a man and was given the heart of a man to him. You remember King Nebuchadnezzar loses his mind until he acknowledges that the God of the Bible is the true God. He gets saved. He tells his whole kingdom, you need to worship the God of the Bible and of Daniel. And Nebuchadnezzar represents one of the very few leaders in the world that ever got saved being a leader, okay? It happens so rare. Most leaders are so into themselves, so vain, so proud, so prideful, that the chances of them getting on their knees in repentance and confessing they're a no good sinner that needs to be saved is about nil. But Nebuchadnezzar is one of the very few through history that got saved, was given the heart of a man. Kingdom number 2 is in verse 5. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its side, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. It was told, get up and eat your fill of flesh. This is the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And the Medes were stronger. One side of the bear is lifted up because the Medes were the stronger partner of the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Verse 6, after that I looked, and there before me was another beast. This is the third one. One that looked like, what? A leopard. So you see, those first three animals are all incorporated into the Antichrist. Because when the Antichrist rules, He's going to rule with the devastation of all the other kingdoms that have been on the earth, including the fourth one. You can read the leopard. The leopard is the Greek Empire, by the way. Verse 6, after that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like the leopard. And on its back, it had four wings like those of a bird. The beast had four heads and was given authority to rule. After Alexander the Great died, his four generals, the four heads, divided up the Greek Empire. Verse 7, after that, in my vision, at night I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had large, what kind of teeth? Iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had, how many horns? 10 horns. There's no description of the fourth beast other than he's frightening, terrifying, teeth of iron, and devours its victims with 10 horns, okay? But there's no description of that beast. Now, that's the Roman Empire, just so you know. I don't have time, and I don't want you to turn there, but Daniel chapter 2 goes over the same information about the four great kingdoms that will be on the earth. King Nebuchadnezzar was sleeping one night, and he had a dream, and it was terrifying. He woke up, and he said, hey, I want someone to not only tell me what I dreamed, so I know you know that you have connections with God, but and then tell me what the dream means. Daniel comes and says, I know what your dream was, and I'm going to interpret it. In your dream, there was a big statue of yourself, and the head was gold, the chest and the arms were silver, the belly was bronze, and then like from the lower part down was iron, down the legs, and down to the toes, there were 10 toes, and they're iron mixed with clay. And then you saw a big rock come out of heaven and smash the toes, and the whole statue smashes apart, and the rock takes over the whole earth. And King Nebuchadnezzar goes, that's right. That is a dream I had. What does it mean? And Daniel says, well, the head of gold is you. You're the head of the Babylonian kingdom. That's the lion. Your kingdom eventually, though you've conquered the world, Nebuchadnezzar, your kingdom eventually will be destroyed, and then the silver kingdom will take over, which is the Medes and the Persians, represented by the two arms and by silver. And then a fourth kingdom will come many, many years later that will be the Greek kingdom under Alexander the Great. That's the bronze. Then after him is this fourth kingdom that is terrifying. It's the Roman kingdom. And the Roman kingdom is iron. And it starts here, but then it splits into two sections, the legs, through time and history. There'll be the Eastern European side and the Western European side. And it will go down to 10 toes of clay and iron, and that's the restored Roman Empire. There'll never be another world empire until the revived Roman Empire at the end of time, made up of 10 horns, 10 nations, and then that rock that comes is God. He comes back, he smashes all the kingdoms of the world, and Jesus sets up his kingdom on the planet. All right, so back to Daniel 7. Verse 8, while I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one. This little horn, by the way, is the Antichrist. A little one. And three of the first horns were uprooted before it. So the Antichrist knocks off three leaders of three other countries. And it was uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man, because it's the Antichrist, it's a person, and a mouth that spoke what? Boastfully, right? It's the mouth of the Antichrist. Verse 15. I, Daniel, was troubled in spirit, and the visions that passed through my mind disturbed me. I approached one of those standing there. He's near angels. I skipped that section. He's near angels, and he says, hey, can you tell me the true meaning of all this? So he told me and gave me the interpretation of these things. The four great beasts are four kingdoms that will rise from the earth. Babylonians, Medes and Persians, Greeks and Roman, and the revived Roman Empire. But the saints of the Most High will receive the kingdom and will possess it forever. Yes, forever and ever. So after that, Jesus is going to reign with the saints. It's called the millennium. Verse 19. Then I wanted to know the true meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others and most terrifying, with its iron teeth and bronze claws. The beast that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. I also want to know about the 10 horns on its head and about the other horn that came up before which three of them fell. The horn that looked more imposing than the others and that had eyes and a mouth that spoke boastfully. Verse 21, look at this. As I watched, this horn, the Antichrist, was waging war against the saints and what? Defeating them. So that's the Antichrist waging war against the believers, the tribulation saints, and killing them. Until, verse 22, the Antichrist is killing the saints until the Ancient of Days. Who's the Ancient of Days? God, okay? Until the Ancient of Days came and pronounced judgment in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came when they possessed the kingdom. And the saints with Jesus, we set up the millennial kingdom. Verse 23, he gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the what? The whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. When we have the revived European, Roman, whatever that is. Now, some say there's 10 nations involved in that. It could be 10 nations of Europe. Some say it's also any nations that came from Europe. So some say the United States might be one of those 10 nations. India might be one of those 10 nations. Nations in the South, wherever the European underneath the Romans extended to, whatever. But there's going to be 10 nations that will give the Antichrist complete rule of the whole earth. When the Antichrist steps into the middle, into the temple, in the middle of the tribulation, and declares himself God, of course he's going to tell everyone, and since I am God, I will rule the whole earth. No leader in history has been able to conquer the whole earth, though they have tried. They have tried. That's why we call them types of the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be successful for 3.5 years. Okay. So verse 23, he gave me this explanation. The fourth beast is a fourth kingdom that will appear on earth. It will be different from all the other kingdoms, and it will devour the whole earth, trampling it down and crushing it. The 10 horns are 10 kings who will come from this kingdom. And then another king will arise. That's the Antichrist. Different from the earlier ones. He will subdue 3 kings. The Antichrist knocks off 3 people to show his power. He will speak, verse 25, he will speak against the Most High. Oh, right? The Antichrist speaks against God, his name, where God lives, and all those that live in heaven with him. He will speak against the Most High and oppress his saints and try to change the set times and the laws. The saints will be handed over to him for a time, times, and half a time. Now, That's in Aramaic, a time, times, and half a time. What does that mean in English? And if you have an NIV, you should have a footnote at the bottom that tells you how long that is. And what does it say? 3.5 years. The last 3.5 years of the tribulation is how much authority and power that the Antichrist has over the saints. By the way, you'll notice that it says he tries to change the set times and the laws. The Antichrist is like, as I think, this is just my belief, okay? I think Hollywood leaders get together and study the Bible so that they can break every law that there is. Now, this is what God says. Let's do the opposite. Let's show that this is evil and bad, and the opposite is what's good. So the Antichrist will try to change all the laws. So this week, like 4 days ago, the atheist group of the United States came out and said, hey, we believe that the Bible is the most hate-filled book there is in the world. And this creates more terrorists than any other book. And this book just teaches such wrongs. This book should be banished from the earth. The atheists just came out with this, okay? Because what's good is bad and what's bad is good. And the Antichrist is going to push the laws that are exactly the opposite of what are found in Scripture. Now, right now, the church is here in the United States. So the atheists, though growing in power, and though a third of the young people have joined their ranks, I think the church is still salt and light. But imagine when the church is raptured out. How easy it will be then at that point to declare that the Bible truly is the worst book there is and go the other way. Verse 26. But the court will sit. This is at the end of the 3.5 years. And his power of the Antichrist will be taken away and completely destroyed forever. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. And that will be Jesus. This is the end of the matter. I, Daniel, was deeply troubled by my thoughts, and my face turned pale, but I kept the matter to myself. All right, zoom. I'll do this fast. Look at verse 9. It's a section I skipped. So Jewish people often say, you know what? We can't follow, we can't be Christians because you worship Jesus and you worship the Father. We believe you should only worship one God and not two. Through the last 5 years I've been preaching here, there are so many scriptures in the Old Testament about worshiping the Father and the Son and the whole Trinity. But again, most Jews don't read their own Bible. But this is one section here that you could read a Jew and say, well, then explain this. This is in your Bible. This was written by one of your main prophets long before the New Testament was ever written. So verse 9, as I look, thrones are set in place, and the Ancient of Days, who's the Ancient of Days? That's God, okay? God the Father. He took a seat. His clothing was as white as snow. The hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. This is all the angels and saints. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. Then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. That's the Antichrist. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire, which we will see in Revelation chapter 19. The Antichrist gets thrown into hell. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but were allowed to live for a period of time. If you want to understand that one, you have to see me afterwards. It's something to do with the millennium. Verse 13, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like what? A son of man. Who is that? That's Jesus. The son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached who? Who does the son of man approach? The Father, the Ancient of Days, right? The Ancient of Days, and was led into his presence. He was given That this is the Son of Man. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshiped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And the Jews don't know what to do with that. Because right there you go, look at that. The Ancient of Days is worshiped, and the Son of Man is worshiped, and he is given that authority by God. And you know God's not going to tell people to worship someone who isn't God himself. All right. So next week, I will reveal the Antichrist to you. I will reveal. If you miss. So come with a little bit of sense of humor, but there will also be a very serious side to it. So, all right, let's stand. Just, we thank you, Lord, that we are strong in Jesus, that greater is the one who lives in us than the one that's in the world, the enemy. Help us to walk in freedom and victory by the blood of the Lamb. Bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.